It can be a useful comedic or dramatic device. The phone rings and the audience watching the television show or the play get to listen in to one half of a conversation. We try to fill in the gaps, imagine what is being said that we can't hear as we see the expressions on the call answerer's face and hear their responses. Or perhaps you've been on a train and tried hard not to listen in to one half of a conversation in the quiet carriage. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look together at the book of Galatians, one side of the papyrus in the argument and challenge between Paul and his opponents, and of encouragement to the believers in Galatia. This letter, written approximately 50 AD to a predominantly non-Jewish audience, had a clear purpose: encouraging faithful discipleship, avoiding error, and promoting Christian maturity. Today, we'll meet a real apostle and hear about the real gospel. So come with me to Galatians chapter 1, which we've just heard read. It will be really helpful for me if you have that open in front of you so that we can follow along together. Maybe you could hold your Bible open or open your Bible app. And let's ask God to speak to us. And let's pray before we consider these opening verses of Galatians. God our Father, we thank you for these words at the start of Galatians. By your Spirit, open our minds and hearts that we might receive from you and in response live lives which honour the gospel of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. In these opening five verses, we get to hear part of one side of the conversation between Paul and the church and probably his opponents in Galatia. We meet a real apostle. So down in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me. To the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. The opening words confirm that this is a letter that comes with authority, with purpose and power. Paul, we will see later in Galatians, is experiencing clear opposition to his message of grace and of the inclusion of the Gentile believers in the family of the church. Paul is identified as one sent by God. This is not someone speaking off their own bat or sent by another human leader. And did you see the markers of the Christian community are to be the resurrection, forgiveness of sins, triumph over adversity, grace and peace. Now verse 3 is not simply a standard "Hi, hope you're well," or an uninspiring auto-generated first line of an email greeting. Rather, this combination of grace and peace speak of the very heart of what Paul's message is about. We as followers of Jesus have peace with one another because we have peace with God, won for us on the cross, peace which we receive by grace. It is through what he has done for us. Salvation and hope is available to any who will call on the name of the Lord. In Paul's time, it didn't matter your ethnic identity, and in ours too, the same applies. And we must remind ourselves that we are saved by grace, not because of our intelligence, our background, where we were born, or the colour of our skin, or the colour of our passport. There is such clarity about what this letter is going to be about in these opening verses that we might be tempted just to gloss over normally. And just in case we were concerned that this is a strong start and Paul trying to establish himself as a celebrity preacher and build a reputation, the opening concludes with a right giving of glory and honour to God. We might not be apostles, sent ones in the technical sense, but you and me, if we are followers of Jesus, are those who are commissioned and sent with the same message and the same Holy Spirit to our homes, shops, schools, offices, and online fora, with a clear message of hope for the future and a new community now. These opening words of the conversation establish Paul's identity as one called and sent by God, and settles the church's identity in their foundation in relationship with God. As we work through the letter of Galatians, we'll see more about unity, principle, faith, adoption, freedom, fruit, and community. But as this letter continues to the churches, and it's not, as Craig Keener notes, a short note on a scrap of papyrus or an oral greeting, Galatians was a significant task undertaken to address a significant problem. So let's look at verses 6 to 9, the real gospel. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have said already, and now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Wow. As we listen in to this side of the conversation, we are left reeling. This is not the way we thought the conversation was going. In the other letters, in Romans, after hearing the greeting, we hear, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. In 1 Corinthians, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you. We should be hearing words, encouraging words of thanksgiving or praise, but what we actually hear is, I am astonished, and not in a good way. These verses are no standard form of nice letter writing. Here is uncompromising rebuke. The Galatians are, in John Stott's phrase, religious turncoats. They are abandoning the calling of Christ to a grace-drenched, life-giving gospel and turning to a message that prioritises the outward signs of belonging to Israel, circumcision and law, as a necessary prerequisite to acceptance and belonging in the family of faith. This may, to our modern ears, sound arrogant, but this uncompromising message is in place because Paul understands the consequences. These churches have been drawn away from the real gospel, and any gospel that is not the real gospel is no gospel at all. Listen to how Tim Keller illustrates these verses. He says, it's like a vacuum. You can't allow in some air and say that it is now a 90% vacuum or an air-enriched vacuum. It is either a complete vacuum or no vacuum at all. He goes on, as soon as you add anything to the gospel, you have lost it entirely. The moment you revise it, you reverse it. We saw, didn't we, last week in Acts, how Stephen stood up for the truth, how his commitment to Jesus and his call didn't let him compromise or allow the Pharisees' misreading and misunderstanding of God's salvation plan to flourish. Here, Paul, the one who had been the Saul approving of Stephen's execution, has literally seen the light and is committed to safeguarding the gospel now. Can I encourage you to find hope in the gospel truth, the gospel of grace, As someone once said, beware of half-truths. You might have been told the wrong half. The Galatians need to return to the Lord. They have walked away, perhaps drifted, or perhaps dragged away. But Jesus, through Paul, is calling them back. Arriving in Poynton as your new vicar, I can speak with thanks for the faithful ministry of those who have led the church in the past, and also of the team who have encouraged you all through the vacancy to be faithful to God's word and committed to prayerful following of God day by day. You might know that periodically there are surveys of how trusted different professions are viewed. Last year, Ipsos Mori published a global survey that found that scientists were the most trusted on 60%, and politicians down at the bottom at 9%. TV newsreaders only scored 24%, and even more worrying, clergy came in at 21%. In the coronavirus briefings, we've seen scientists at the forefront of giving information and advice, usually in the middle, with a politician in the middle. In verses 8 and 9, can you see the warning? It doesn't matter who is speaking a gospel that is not the real gospel, whether an angel or Paul or a scientist or a politician, don't believe them. Don't follow them. If I stand up, appear on screen and encourage you that faith is great, but you really need to add something else to be accepted by God, then point me back to these verses. In the coming days and weeks, there will be things that I'll encourage us to do and explore together. Some of them may be new to you, new songs, new ways of praying, whatever it is. Please don't ever hear them as being essential to salvation. My prayer is that them, and as we learn more of Jesus together, we will gain more and more confidence in the simple truth of the gospel of grace. These verses in Galatians are what Martin Luther refers to as a plain text like a thunderbolt. So may we ask, what is it that God wants to challenge and encourage us with at this time? These opening verses are a personal challenge to check our own spiritual health. Are we tempted to wander from the gospel, add other things to all that Christ has done? Probably not in the same way as Paul's opponents in Galatia, but has our version of the gospel been too moulded to only fit people like us? Can you hear a challenge too for our sharing of faith? What is the gospel offer that we make? In order to become a Christian, do we suggest that people need to learn a new vocabulary, dress differently, fit into the way that we've always done church? Or do we offer grace? If you're someone who has never really got this gospel of grace, felt that you have to keep working yourself, have to get God's attention with the good things you do, or perhaps on the other extreme, you think you'll just never be good enough for God, these verses call you today to know the love of God for you in Jesus and the call on your life to follow him. Perhaps you are just listening to this talk because I'm the new vicar, or perhaps you're a family member who's overhearing someone else who's watching this service online, and you've never known God's love for you. Might you hear today the message that Jesus gave his life that you might live, that your sins, your wrongdoing might be forgiven, whatever it is, and that you would be given a future in God. I believe for us, as a church family, that these weeks in Galatians will help us as we begin to seek God's priorities for our worship and mission at this new season in Poynton. Paul's words will root us in the good news of the gospel whilst reminding us of the ongoing transformative work of the Holy Spirit. So would you pray with me now? Lord God, the good news of the gospel of grace pulls us into relationship and reliance on your loving kindness. fill us with more of your Spirit, that we might live lives which honour you and point others to your life-giving grace. Lead and guide us as we serve you in the places you have called us, and help us to see your will for our future ministry and mission. To you be glory forever and ever. Amen.